It's Wednesday, July 15th, 2026. A new busway in the Bronx, our weekly World Cup wrap-up, a potential ban on horse carriages, and a rally for the rights of rideshare drivers. That's What's What Today. I'm your host, Sonia Wellawitagoda. There's a new bus transit project in the Bronx. WFUV's Anne Jackson has more.
According to the New York Department of Transportation, Tremont Avenue is one of the busiest corridors in the Bronx, with about 39,000 daily bus riders. Today, Mayor Zoran Mamdani shared plans for a new busway along the avenue. He says these bus-only lanes will make bus transportation faster and safer. Danny Perlstein is the Policy and Communications Director for the Riders Alliance. The organization advocates for better public transportation in the city. He says this project is long overdue, but needed more than ever.
For far too long, riders have been waiting, stuck on America's slowest buses, and nowhere is that truer than in the Bronx, where people have no time to waste.
The Department of Transportation says these busways in other parts of the city increase bus service speed by 60%. Perlstein also spoke about how this project can make commuting better for everyone, not just bus riders.
By speeding up bus service, which is something within our power as a city, we can make the street work better for everybody.
This announcement comes 1 week after Governor Kathy Hochul and Mayor Mamdani announced their new plan to make buses faster throughout the city. The project is estimated to be completed later this year. I'm Ann Jackson, WFUV News.
The World Cup finals are rapidly approaching. I spoke to WFUV Sports' Sam Giangrande for an update. My first question is, after the first semifinal game, how was Spain able to beat France?
Throughout this whole tournament, we've seen Spain, even though they're not playing the most exciting soccer in the world, they're playing very effectively. They're controlling the ball the entire game. They're not letting their opponents get any possession. Throughout the entire tournament, Spain's only conceded one goal, and now they're in the final. They play very defensively, very much controlling the pace of the game, and every single time France got the ball, they couldn't get a shot off, which ultimately led Spain to just be completely dominant throughout the whole game. So by just controlling the midfield and being able to possess the ball almost the entire game, France really couldn't do anything, which they had arguably the best attacking trio in the whole tournament, and they couldn't get any shots off until the second half. And ultimately didn't get really any attempts until the 80th minute. They were outclassed almost the entire time by a Spain team, which on paper was worse than France, but it goes to show when you can't get any shots off, you can't score. And ultimately, France's defense couldn't hold up against Spain. And this is the first time France has lost a knockout game, I think, in 40 years. So it's an unfortunate way for them to exit the tournament.
Today, England and Argentina are playing, and whoever wins that game will play against Spain. What should we expect today from the England-Argentina game?
This game is going to be chaotic on multiple factors. You have a political factor because of England and Argentina. They have a huge military feud over the Falkland Islands, which still isn't even resolved after decades of fighting. But you also have what's going on the pitch, where Argentina has been, there's been a lot of speculation of stuff being unfair, that they're getting more treatment going towards them, refereeing decisions that are going all their way. But we've also seen England team where a lot of the times they've been the underdogs and they've outperformed. When they were playing Mexico in the round of 16 at the Azteca for a home game, basically for Mexico, they outperformed them, and people thought England were going to be outperformed. Same thing with Norway. People thought, oh, this Norway team just beat Brazil. It means that England can't do anything against Norway. And once again, they were outshined. So I think the best thing we're going to see is a very chaotic game. We're going to see an England team who wants to prove themselves. They've been to 2 international finals within the last 10 years, a World Cup semifinal, and then they're back in the semis. So this England team has a lot of fight in them. They really want to prove themselves as the best team in the world. And I think in my opinion, we're going to see an England-Spain final, a rematch of the 2024 European Championship final. But no matter what, anything can happen on the pitch. Argentina have been shown to come back from almost anything this tournament. So it's up in the air. To me, it's a coin flip, but I see England. But we won't figure that out until 3 p.m. today.
Great. Thank you so much for meeting with me.
Thank you for having me.
I'm excited to watch the game this afternoon.
I think this game will be just as exciting as the World Cup final itself.
That was WFUV Sports' Sam Giangrande. Horse carriages are an iconic part of Central Park, but a new law could ban them for good. WFUV's Xenia Gonickberg tells us about the debate over horse carriages.
Those are the sounds of New Yorkers chanting and verbally clashing outside City Hall gates. They're all worked up over the same issue, horse carriages. On one side of the street, the Transport Workers Union and its supporters. On the opposite side are animal rights advocates. Both camps are there for one goal, to plead their case to the city council. While horse carriages have been a staple of Central Park for over 150 years, that tradition could be over soon. That's because the city council is voting on Romanche's law today, which would ban horse cabs. It would also ensure the humane retirement of active carriage horses. Mary Ford is an Upper East Side resident and one of the many New Yorkers who camped outside the gates of City Hall for nearly 2 hours, trying to get inside for the 10 a.m. hearing.
I unfortunately see carriage horses all the time when I'm trying to enjoy time in Central Park, and it really ruins my experience. It ruins a lot of New Yorkers' experience to have to, again, just see this cruel treatment of animals when we're trying to enjoy what is otherwise one of the kind of nicest and most special places in the city.
But for carriage drivers like Atta Ak, his horses are his life.
I want to keep my horses, my livelihood. We love our job.
He's been a carriage driver since he immigrated to New York from Turkey in 2011.
I saw the horses in Central Park. I fell in love, and I just got my license the next year. And since then, I'm a carriage driver.
To him, the horse cab industry is woven into the fabric of the city. He says there could be more regulations to keep the business alive, but doesn't think getting rid of a centuries-old practice is possible. But Aditya Bernkrant, executive director of the nonprofit New Yorkers for Clean, Livable, and Safe Streets, says a potential ban is a win-win for the public, horses, and workers.
Horses are skittish prey animals with an incredibly powerful flight drive. For years, we have been saying someone's going to get killed every day you have these horses out here. They spook and run constantly. So this should have been done years ago.
The law is named after Romanche Mahajan, an 18-year-old tourist who died last month from a horse carriage accident. If the bill is passed, New York would join cities like Philadelphia, Montreal, London, and Beijing, who have already banned horse carriages. Xenia Gonickberg, WFUV News.
Uber and Lyft drivers are protesting for more job security, something they say Uber Technologies and Lyft headquarters are trying to take away from them. I went to the Uber headquarters to hear from some drivers.
Union power!
Union power!
Driver power!
No driver!
With signs in hand that say respect the driver and we won't back down, Uber and Lyft drivers, along with the Taxi Driver Alliance, are protesting for a law they say would protect them. Local Law 52 was passed by City Council in January and is supposed to take effect July 28th. The law would aim to protect drivers from unfair account deactivations by requiring rideshare companies to provide drivers with 14-day deactivation notices, proper due process, outlined appeal processes, and more. But Uber and Lyft headquarters are suing New York City to try and stop the law before it's enacted. Malong Gassama is an Uber and Lyft driver. His account was deactivated for 9 months, which later led to him living in a shelter because of his immediate loss of income. He says he wasn't given a chance to try to appeal the deactivation.
The process is wrong and unfair. We believe that everybody should be fair to each other. We are drivers, and not everybody is perfect. But do not deactivate people without giving them the right to prove their case.
Niji Jain is a legal director at the Asian American Legal Defense and Education Fund. She says that many people forget that drivers have to pay a lot of out-of-pocket expenses, like gas, car loans, and more.
When Uber and Lyft, with the click of a button, deactivate a driver, they're left not just with the last job, but also all of the debt for the job that they invested in.
On Thursday, Uber and Lyft will go against New York City in court. Drivers and advocates say they are holding their breath for the judge's ruling. And that's our show for today. You can find more stories online at WFUVnews.org and on Instagram and TikTok at WFUVnews. Please follow and rate us on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps. If you have a tip or a question for us, send us a DM or email us at newsroom@WFUV.org. I'm your host and producer, Sonia Wellawitagoda. Our reporters today are Ann Jackson, Sam Giangrande, Xenia Gonickberg, and myself. Nathan Ray is our editor.